Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
So I know you're thinking right now, why are you showing a father video on Mother's Day? But if what you notice in that video, it was mom that was trying to hold everything together. Which in part is what we really celebrate on today, is just the fact that she's kind of that glue throughout that family and holding everything together. And we need that. And so we honor and celebrate you on a day like today. And we'll get a little bit deeper into that as we move through the message this morning. If you have a Bible and you want to turn over to Nehemiah chapter 1, we'll be there shortly. We're in a series, though, talking about choices and decisions that you make throughout life. And thing about life is you get to choose. I mean, certainly God is sovereign and he is in control, but at the same time, he gives you free will and you get to choose your destiny. You get to choose what path you go down, and where you will be 10 years from now depends heavily on the choices that you're making right now. And where you're at right now in large part depends on the choices you made before. And so often when you think about that Jimmy Buffett song, he says in there, some people claim there's a woman to blame, but, and he ends each verse differently. Sometimes like nobody's to blame. Sometimes, well, maybe it's my fault. And by the end, he says, you know, where I'm at right now, I'm to blame. It's my fault. Nobody else. The buck stops with me. It stops right here. And so what we've been talking about in this series is getting to the point where we understand we own our choices. And it's been said that just a handful of choices will have the greatest impact on where your life goes, what kind of direction it goes, what kind of experiences you have, and the quality and stature of your life. In this series, we're not really talking about those decisions. Really, we've been talking about what are the priorities behind those decisions, where we basically say, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to look to God's word as the ultimate authority in my life. And the thing about priorities is, if you're asked in a classroom setting or in a church setting what your priorities are, most people tend to get the answer right, right? I mean, we pretty much can kind of nail down and say, yeah, I want God first. I want relationship with my wife second. I want my kids third. And then, you know, somewhere after that, you know, work, activities, other things like that. So we kind of like get it pretty good. The thing is, though, what we say doesn't matter. It's what we do, right? It's what we do. It's what are our priorities really? What really happens when we make the decision? The thing about it is if you hear nothing else this morning, just get this. A good person with a good heart and good intentions with bad priorities will make a bad decision every time, right? A good person with a good heart and good intentions with bad priorities will end up making a bad decision every single time. And what happens is you kind of go, whoa, but I didn't mean for that to happen. That's not what I wanted. That's not where I... But if the priorities aren't right, the decision in the end is messed up. And so how do we get to the point where we're making wise choices? How do we get to the point where we're making a good choice in the moment? Well, you've got to have the priorities lined up right. And what you see in the book of Daniel is a guy who had his priorities lined up right. Now, a little backstory on the book of Daniel. The Babylonian army came through and pretty much destroyed Israel. And their strategy for world domination, because everybody's bent on world domination, it seems like, their strategy for world domination was to go in and they would extract out the best and the brightest of the nation. And they would take them back to their country and they would basically put them in college. And they would run them through a leadership training program in which they would try to indoctrinate them into their ways and their practices and their cultures. And then once that group of people had been fully indoctrinated, they could then perhaps send them back to where they came from so that they would then be seen as a leader in their hometown and lead the people there to be loyal back to Babylon. Does that make sense? So Daniel is one of those people. And if you look in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3, it says the king ordered that the young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude of every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve, to come and serve in the king's palace. And so Daniel was one of those guys. Well, along the way, there's this thing came up where they wanted Daniel and all of the other guys like him to eat what it says is the king's food. Now, to understand why Daniel has an issue with this, because in a minute he's going to be like, no, I'm not going to do that. And you say, why? Well, we all know that our strength and energy comes from our sleep and from our food, right? I mean, that's where you draw your energy, you recharge, and you get fuel to go. So let's just go to the food part here. So you get your energy from your food. Well, what they would do is they would take food, meat, and they would sacrifice it up to the god of their land, not the one true God, but whatever they had created out to be their god. And so they would sacrifice the food to that god, and then they would serve it to the king's servants. So then when the king's servants excelled or did something in their life, they would say, see, it's because you have the god of whoever flowing through you. You get that? So if Daniel gives in and he eats the food, then whatever he does or accomplishes in life will not bring glory to God. It'll be accredited to something else. And so he looks at it and he says, no, my priority is God first, right? God's first in my life. And so this was an issue for him. And so as the story goes down, if you go down to verse 8, it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He resolved. Maybe some versions say he chose. He decided in his mind. He made up his mind. See, here's the thing. What you have in this situation is a situation where you don't think there's a choice, right? The king orders him to eat the food. But he has a choice. And so often it's easy to say, well, I don't have a choice in the matter. The decision's made for me. I wasn't given an option. But no, Daniel says, listen, I always get to choose. I always get to choose. I can choose whether I'm going to do it or not do it, to accept or reject. I always have a choice in the matter. And so what it says here is he chose not to. Now, the reason why I kind of start there before we go to family is so often when it comes to family, we think we don't have a choice. We think like as if everything's sort of laid out for us. We don't really get to choose what we do or when we do it. And to kind of illustrate this, I need a volunteer, a lady, if you will. Is there any moms in the room who want to volunteer? Anyone? Anywhere? Anywhere? Is that a hand I see up, Cheryl? Are you raising your hand? Was that a hand up? No? Was that hand down? No? Sure. Okay. Oh, what? Yes? Huh? Oh, okay. All right. Which is it? Which is it? Which is it? Okay. All right. Here you go. All right. Perfect. All right. Let me just see if you can do this real quick. All right. Is it too heavy?
No.
No, it's good. All right, come here. All right. What I need you to do is keep this rock from hitting the table, okay? All right, you can't touch the table. Okay, don't touch the table, but just keep the rock. Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
You're positive?
Yes.
Should I get her to do it?
No.
Is she stronger or what? You can do it though, right?
Yes.
You got this, right? Okay, all right. Just hold this. I'm going to explain something, then I'm going to come back, okay? All right, good. All right. So when it comes to our priorities in life, so often what ends up happening is that work ends up squeezing itself into that priority list. What happens is that if you have to look at God or your boss, which one's more forgiving? God. All right. When it comes to God or your wife, okay, which one's more forgiving? Who can you push a little bit this week and get them to give? Who's it easier? The wife. Who's it easier to push a little bit and ask them to be, you got it? Ask them to be more forgiving. Can you hold your arms out? No, you're cheating with the elbows. Okay. All right. Okay. I'll give you that. All right. Your boss or your kids? Who's more forgiving? Your kids. So when you come down to it and it's 5 o'clock on Monday afternoon and you know you're supposed to be home so you can be there for that recital, or you can be there to help out with dinner, you can be there to help out with bath time, and the boss says, yeah, I just need to finish this up. You kind of think to yourself, well, could you just hold this just for a little bit? Could you just hold this for a little bit? Can you? Okay. Because I'm going to be done at work in about 10 minutes and then I'll be home and then I will grab the rock. Okay. For the rest of the sermon, I'm going to hold it, but I just need you to hold it for like another Well, I finish this, okay? I got one more point. After I make this next point, then I'm going to come get it. All right. So what we do is we say, you know, just do that. And you think, thing is that when you do that, you know, I don't get in trouble for that, okay? You know, maybe, but she forgives me, right? It's okay. At work, though, if I bail out early, okay, then I'm not a team player. Then I'm not committed. Then I just don't care. Then my performance review may suffer. Then I won't get the promotion at some point down the road. You still good? Cheryl, we're friends, right? We've known each other for a while, right? Did you not tell me that you were going to hold that? You stood, no. You stood right here and said, no problem. I can do this, right?
Yeah.
What happened?
Got too heavy.
It's no heavier now than it was 5 minutes ago, is it?
Yeah.
Physics. The weight of this rock has not changed in the past 10 minutes. What changed?
My arms. I got tired.
Oh, you got tired. All right. Give her a round of applause. Thank you, Sarah. Okay. Her willingness gave way to her strength. Did you get that? Her willingness gave way to her strength. At some point, your mental strength, your physical strength, your emotional strength will give way to your willingness. And you see, here's what happens. Once the rock drops, it's like, what happened? You said you would. You said you'd pick the kids up. You said you'd do it. You said, we both agreed before I took this job. We both agreed this was just for a season. We both agreed this was just a busy time. You said, what's the problem? Nothing's changed. I just can't do it anymore. What do you mean you can't do it anymore? I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling in general. Now, what do you mean you can't do it anymore? And then all of a sudden it's, I'm putting the rock down. Don't come home. You know, but honey, I just need another 10 minutes. Take all the time you need. Take all the time you need. What do you mean? I'll pack your bag. And all of a sudden there's a crisis. And the second that crisis hit, you just told your boss you could stay, and all of a sudden, what happens? I got to get home now. Whoa! I thought you had to be there. I thought you couldn't leave. I thought this just had to get done. Why are you all of a sudden now able to go, but you weren't 10 minutes ago? Well, now there's a crisis. Oh, now there's a crisis. Now because there's a crisis, we can reorder our priorities. Why not just reorder the priorities now before the crisis? And you see, with the wife, it's usually an argument. It's usually a blow-up. And you wonder, where does this come from? This is crazy. You said you would do it. You said you could handle it. Like, well, yeah, I did. I just didn't realize that it would be this long or this hard or this difficult. And I want to. I just can't anymore. And so the rock drops, and you're like, what? You know, with kids, it's a little different. The rock doesn't drop. Kids just kind of... and sort of sneak out. And then you get a report card home in the mail, or you get a call from the school dean, and their life isn't in a really good place. And you're like, what happened? When did all this happen? Well, it just kind of drifted. And you gave up the opportunity for influence because you put your time and your effort somewhere else. And you see, your good intentions with a good heart, with bad priorities, was making you make a lot of bad decisions along the way. What you got to know is every yes is a no, right? Every yes is a no. I can't be in two places at the same time, physically or mentally, right? So if I say yes over here, I am saying no over here. And sometimes when somebody says, hey, can you stay and can you do this? You just need to be able to look and say, listen, if I say yes to you, I got to pick up my phone. I got to pick up the phone and tell my wife no. And you know what they usually say? Okay, I'll wait. Why is it that we are more loyal to the people who are least loyal to us? 20 years from now, who's still by our side? 30 years from now, who's still in our life? The Navy, typically around 20, they're fine if you leave. By 30, they'll just kick you out the door. They'll give you a nice plaque, some stuff you can hang on the wall, but they're done. And who's still there? The one who you've been asking to hold the rock all this time. And it's not that anything has changed when the rock drops. It just revealed the problem that was there all along. So with Daniel, it says, but Daniel resolved. He made a choice. And it says so he chose not to violate. And so right after it says he resolved not to do it, do you know what the next words are? Now God. Now God. Daniel had some priorities, and so he made some choices. He was told what he could and couldn't do, but he understood, I still get to choose. You can tell me what I'm going to do, but I still get to choose whether or not I'm going to do it. Even in a time when he is a slave, he didn't technically have a choice, but he still said, no, I have a choice. I always have a choice. And if you kill me, that's fine, but I still have a choice. You with me? So they told him, you're eating this or else. And he said, else, because I've got a choice and I'm going to choose to put God forward first. And so it says, and now God. You see, now God. Don't miss the now piece. We want before God. God, before I make this decision, will you do something to work things out? God, before I step out, will you work this out for me? And you see, like, for me, I'm chasing that utopian schedule. You with me on this? Because there was that time, like 2 months ago, right? When I had like 5 appointments I had to schedule in 3 days, but I also had like 2 appointments I had to make for my kids or for my wife. And what happened that week was the thing at the school got moved to another night, okay? The babysitter couldn't make it that night, and I was able to reschedule 2 out of these 5, and everything worked, right? Praise Jesus, okay? Now I'm convinced if I can just schedule this week like I did that week, right? Because it's a scheduling issue, right? It's just a scheduling issue. No, it's not a scheduling issue. That was luck, okay? That wasn't my genius planning. That was luck. You see, every yes is a no. Sometimes you might get lucky. And here's the thing. The reason why you know it's not a scheduling thing is, at what point is it enough in any of these areas? Like, at what point do you say, okay, I have answered all my emails, I have followed up every lead, I have filled out all the paperwork, and I've done all the reports, everything is done, I can go. How often does that happen? How often do you say, if I could just stay another 2 hours, it would make all the difference, right? Okay. Now, with the kids, how often do they say, Dad, that's enough, man. I have had too much Battleship playing tonight. If you ask me one more time whether or not A2 is a hit or a miss, I'm going to lose it, all right? I've had enough. I just want to go sit on the couch, relax, go take a nap, whatever you want to do. No, I don't want to wrestle, Dad. I've had enough. Anybody? Anybody? Save us. Somebody tell us, it's our kids that have a problem and they're not normal. No, they're normal. There's never enough. At what point does the house ever say, that's enough? I am clean enough. I am improved enough. You cannot improve the house anymore. It is at its ultimate perfection. Bob Vila would walk in and go, nothing for me to do here, and walk right back out. At what point does it get to the point where it's clean enough, fixed up enough, or perfect enough? It doesn't. At what point is the relationship met enough, where you've filled the love tanks enough and you've served and you've cared for and you've shown the affection and everything? At what point is it enough? It's never enough. And so if it's never enough at work and it's never enough with the kids and it's never enough with the house and it's never enough with the wife or the husband, at some point you've got to realize it's not a scheduling issue, is it? It's a priority issue. As they say, something's got to give. I've only got 5 yeses, and I've got 10 demands, right? So every yes is a no. I've got 5 people who are going to get a yes, and I've got 5 people that are going to get a no. And that's just the way it is. The question is, who gets the no? The priorities determine who gets the no. Because if you don't have the priorities, good intention with a good heart makes a bad decision when it comes to your yeses and your nos. And so for Daniel, he says, well, I can tell you who's going to get my yes. God's got my yes. I can tell you who's going to get my no. Work's getting my no. And what he does is he goes and he tells his employer, I'm not going to do it. He says, just test this out. See if this works. Listen, I need to be home on Tuesday night. That's important for my wife because everybody's got a ball practice, a play practice, something going on. I'm out of here at 5:00 on the button. But the rest of the week, whenever you need me, I can do it. But I can't do anything on Tuesday, period. You don't have me. and see if I don't become an all-star employee for you if you let me do this. Ask for that challenge. I'm going to close out with this. I don't do this right every week. I mess it up a lot. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't here. I was at the races. So yes, I skipped church so I could go watch cars turn left for a couple hours. And the reason is because like 6, 7 years ago, my kids were really young, I went to the races. And every year since, you know, the races happen in Richmond twice a year. Every time the race comes up, Jackson asks, can we go? And every time I look at the schedule and I go, no, we're gonna have to shoot for the fall, man. We'll do it in the fall. Fall comes around. No, man, we're going to do it in the spring. Spring rolls around. No, we're going to do it in the fall. And that's happened year after year after year. He asked me, Mr. Deck, can we go to the races? I said, I'm on it. We're doing it. Well, the race is usually on a Friday night. So I went and got tickets, but I got tickets for the Saturday race. Well, the Saturday race is no longer a Saturday race. The Saturday race is now a Sunday. So I got tickets for a race in Richmond at 1 o'clock. And he said, Dad, we going to the race? I said, the race is on Sunday. And he goes, oh, church, all right. And I said, but we're going racing. And his face lit up. And so we went to the races, had a good old time. And the now God part, well, I didn't have anybody to preach on for me on short notice. Pastor Bobby says, have you thought about Clayton? I was like, the new guy? No, I haven't thought about him. I've vetted him. I know him. I think he's great with youth, but throwing him out there, these people are brutal. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you know the now God. Get his rookie card. That kid's going some places. God has put his hand on that guy's life. He has an anointing, and the kid can teach. I shouldn't keep calling him a kid. I'm old enough, I deserve it. I've earned that. The now God part is I never would have known what he was able to do if I didn't put my kids first that Sunday. That's the now God part. Do you have a now God because of the priorities in your life?
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.